Good evening, yogis. Thank you so much for taking the time and effort to come sit together. You know, it's incredible, you know, getting to do this on a Monday. It kind of runs through the whole week, but I need it. I need renewal every Monday. So thank you for sharing this space with us. So sweet. The first thing I have at the top of my page is vote. Vote. Vote as if your life depended upon it. I've heard some say, I believe it. So the polls are open tomorrow, 7 to 7, Sandy. So if you haven't already voted, don't forget that important process. And the other is a quote from the Zen tradition that says, if you understand, things are just as they are. If you don't understand, things are just as they are. Such wisdom. Now, some people we could read that to, and there would not be a depth of wisdom that would quite understand it. But we do. And so we are continuing, Ved, this is for you, mindfulness of the body. Okay? So you think, when is that going? Well, how important is the body? And we started with Anallio, a great teacher and scholar, that has suggested we added several things to our practice, which can be helpful. And the first thing he said was, which actually the Buddha said, was to, when we're scanning our bodies, when we're going into our bodies and we have a sense of the whole body, it can be useful to, especially when we're really diving for the truth, to remember that we have also in these bodies that we conceptualize so much, reflecting on the skin, the flesh, and the bones. It's just another depth to the truth. And the second one was reminding ourselves that we are just part of nature, the elements. Water, fire, air. What am I looking at?
Earth,
water, fire, and air. If I don't start out right, the first right, I can't say the rest of it. So we are part of nature. We're not separate. And so reminding ourselves that we are of these elements, again, just enables us to touch a deeper truth. And then the third one was, in which Anallio said, along with the Buddha, was the one that can have probably the most profound effect on us, is the contemplation of death. And I don't know about you, but that's the one that's the hardest for me, for sure. And we know, we've talked about all the reasons why we are conditioned to not want to talk about death. And a lack of wisdom of why it's so important that we do. And so from a universal perspective, all things that are born eventually die. Now, I didn't hear that until I started practice. All things are born, eventually die. And so death comes to our best friends and family members, and sometimes it even comes to young people and children. You think, that just doesn't seem right. You know, the old die first. How could it be? But again, it's our lack of wisdom. But when we grieve, we really connect to the universal grieving. I've really touched that in my practice, so that when I see or hear these atrocities that really I can't do much about, there is some right action. There's some things I can do about it. But the practice taught me to take it to my body and to take it to my heart, to hold the grief in our hearts. Our head isn't wise enough. The mind is not wise enough to even begin to grok the understanding of impermanence. So this is not a tragedy. It's wisdom. Life is all the more precious and beautiful because it's fleeting. And of course, it's a natural process. And some of us are sick. Some of us are very sick. And some will die just this year. Some will live years longer and then die. But this is our human lot. Death. Because modern culture fosters an intense identification with the outer appearance of the body. That's where our conditioning is. And going beyond that conditioning is not easy, as you well know, because we devote enormous amount of time to how we look, to dressing, adorning, and strengthening the body. And care for the body is most important, because the body holds the truth. And here it is, right with us. And yet, we're not always in touch with it. So why is that? Well, that's our journey. What's keeping us from understanding how important the body is and appreciating it and honoring it? So we do all kinds of things, but no matter how we cling, as we age, the body betrays us. It's amazing for me, and I'm glad I have a companion over here that's my age, close to my age. He's actually about 9 months younger.
Yeah.
But the body is breaking down, as it should. And it's interesting to watch it happen. It's terrorizing at times. And you know, we've been created not to want to die. None of us want to die. We weren't created. There's all the beings, live beings that we live around, they don't want to die. They're structured to stay alive. Well, if we limit ourselves to just fulfilling these bodily desires and believe that the body is who we are, then there's going to be a lot of suffering and aging, and of course in sickness. Suffering on top of suffering on top of suffering. With the difficulties of life and death, and we'll be lost. And as I remember someone saying last week was, what was it? What was it someone said last week? Well, hang on, maybe it'll come up again. So I can just directly experience with you something that I, as an older person, lose, and that's memory, short memory, short-term memory. But it's already frightening. Oh, I know. Now remember. The person said, I mean, we wouldn't wait until the day of competition to get ready for competition. Remember that one? Or we wouldn't wait to study for the test or get ready for the test the day of. I mean, just average understanding tells us now is the time to get ready to die. And as the Buddha says, in learning how to die, we learn how to live. And so it's important. Achan Cha is or was a Thai monk, famous one, forest monk. He says, we only rent this house. If it belonged to us, we could tell it not to get sick, not to grow old. But it takes no notices of these wishes. With wisdom, if you live, that's good. And when you have to die, that's fine too. If the doctors told me I had cancer and was going to die in a few months, I'd remind the doctors, watch out, because death is coming to get you too. It's just a question of who goes first. So putting death, the possibility of death, the real possibility of death, out for us to be with, to study, to take it within, to take the terror and the fear and the anxiety. You know, it's time. But if we don't talk or discuss or think about death, then if we wait till the last minute, we won't have the tools that are necessary in which we can die with dignity. And who knows? I have no idea. You know, you can say, oh, I'm not afraid of death. Well, right now, sitting here in front of you, I'm not afraid of death. But oh, you may be around me when I'm dying. And who knows? I have no idea how I'm going to meet death. But I want as much information and wisdom and understanding as I can get now before it happens. And so, as you well know, we resist reflecting on aging and death. And somehow we see death as a failure with all the things that it frightens us with too. But in the Buddhist approach, we deliberately turn to face it. As we do everything, we have pushed things away in our lives really for no reason except we didn't know not to. But this practice says, look at it all, because it is through the pain of whatever we are working with that sets us free. It's through that terror. And so it's very frightening. In the Buddhist approach, as I said, we're facing it. We're bringing it in the forefront. And in that effort, we do bring the wisdom and perspective and the motivation to live each day fully and well. It somehow becomes more precious, knowing that it's not going to last. So this is how the Buddha teaches us to live each moment as if it's our last breath. And we'll, as I said earlier, we're built to stay alive. And nothing's wrong with honoring that. I certainly don't want to die. But I do want to know what the fear of death is within me. And I feel like the Buddha can teach me that. And when we don't clearly understand the nature of our mind and body, that we keep learning this fear and resistance, looking at decay and death. Oh, we don't want to. We don't want to. As I said last week, monks, that's one of the things that is required. I don't know if it's required, but they look at decay, a lot of decay, bodies, you know, blood and guts. I think we talked last week about inviting ourselves to look at death when we see it on a daily basis. It's all around us, on the road, or, you know, things that we listen to. I mean, it's a slaughterhouse in some respect. I've heard a teacher say that. So we think that this mind-body is something solid and secure and that it is who we are. So why wouldn't we be afraid of that? So naturally, when we have this viewpoint, then death is something we don't even want to get close to. Because it seems like it's a betrayal of our innermost beliefs about who we are and who's in control. But as we open to the nature of our mind and body, we see that it is literally, not metaphorically, we are being born and we are dying in each moment. Now, if we saw ourselves through science under a microscope, we would see a different perspective of what these bodies look like or are. But the truth is, every moment is different. Every moment is fresh. We can begin again every moment. I mean, what a relief in that sense. And who we are today, it's all the things that we have lived in our lives that has brought us to this point of who we are in this particular moment. And that's to be honored. And we don't have to hang on to all the dumb things we've done in our lives that we keep bringing up to make ourselves a little bit more miserable. So everything is changing faster than fast. Our breath, our heartbeats, our thoughts are all pulsing waves. Everything's in motion. It's a dynamic everything. And we begin to inquire about there's nothing solid, nothing static, nothing steady. That we witness day after day, but we don't quite know what to do with it. So the mind-body is a flux of constant creation and dissolution. There's no possibility of holding on. Although sometimes we try very hard to do so. And we've talked about that, especially nurses and doctors and hospice people who are around the dying can see our attitudes toward death. You know, and I think, Jean, you said it last week, what the dying want more than anything, and this is a pretty universal wish, is for us just to be there. But unfortunately, however, people around us may be not wise enough to know to do that. So as we're dying, we're just around this confusion of people's attitudes that we love dearly about death, and it makes it difficult. So we are ever-changing waves. And if our practice hasn't led us to that depth of wisdom, then we practice with the wisdom of impermanence. But anytime these teachings come to us, and that's why hearing them is so important throughout the day, that's where wisdom seeps in. Oh, so that's what the Buddha was talking about. Oh, that is what I am noticing and allowing. All of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's not now just creating our virtual reality that comes from the mind. We appreciate the mind, but we're not our minds. And the minds are not wise. But there is wisdom within all of us. And that's what we touch in stillness and being quiet. And setting intentions of wanting to live life completely, 100%, not just the things that the mind's decided it wants to hang out with. Because guess what? It brings more suffering. It's the suffering of the suffering. And I don't know how this happened, but it's 24 minutes, but I am going to finish with a Mary Oliver who writes, "To live in this world, you must be able to do three things. To love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and when the time comes to let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Just as we are letting it be, letting it be, letting it be, we can support our effort in letting it go, letting it go." So with that, I will stop. Thank you for being such good listeners for the uglies of life that are important for all of us.